Life is hard when you have a broken tweet. A lot of convenience is really nice when it's working. But when it goes down, it just shows you, just, at least for myself, I'll just talk about myself, how lazy you get. You know, sometimes I think, man, what if we didn't have computers all of a sudden? I'd have to go back to doing longhand and my notes and taking them as we used to way back when. Yeah, it's time for the rapture, that's for sure. All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we continue on here in the saga of the stolen idols. As we've just seen, Laban comes up empty-handed. You can just see the frustration on his face. Obviously, too, the disappointment, because he thought for sure he had Jacob collared, able to circumvent doctrine, God's words to him, with his own brand of approach. And he finds nothing. And God completely frustrates his seeking or looking for these idols, and otherwise protects those associated with Jacob, his wife Rachel, otherwise, as well as everybody else in this vein. And after the search is over, we see a new person of Jacob. This passive individual otherwise now takes on a new persona. And in verses 36 through 42, I titled that, Jacob Expresses Righteous Indignation. And I've divided these verses up, this passage up, into two sections. Verses 36 through 37 shows his indignant challenge restoring his public reputation. In other words, you got to remember that I've emphasized to you that in Laban's accusation to Jacob, he had not only a criminal accusation, but a moral and ethical accusation, less than desirable on Jacob's part. So therefore, there is both a legal and physical and spiritual aspect that's tied into this whole passage. And the rebuke of Jacob deals with it essentially in those two parts. First, the criminal allegation, and then he'll address the moral, ethical allegation after the fact. All right, so looking here at verse 36, just kind of give you a heads up where I'm going with this, if you haven't figured it out already. Then Jacob became angry and contended with Laban. While consecutive, our verb to become angry here is literally to burn. Is Cal and Perfect Third Master Singer Kara, Chara, C-H-A-R-A-H, Chara. In the Hebrew, it's literally, and it angered or burned for Jacob. You have the preposition lam and follow with the proper noun, Jacob. And contended, he contended with Laban. While consecutive, our verb to contend or dispute with is the Cal and Perfect Third Maximum Singer, Reeb, R-I-Y-B. With Laban, preposition bet, follow the proper noun, Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, sounds redundant, but we'll look at it again. You have the wow consecutive, then our verb to answer or respond is the Cal and Perfect Third Maximum Singer, Anah, A-N-A-H, proper noun Jacob, and said, wow consecutive, then our verb, Cal and Perfect Third Maximum Singer, Amar, A-M-A-R, to Laban, preposition lam and follow proper noun. And two questions, what is my transgression? What is my sin that you have hotly pursued me? You have the interrogative pronoun ma, M-A-H, what? Then transgression is the common masculine singular noun constructed with the first common singular suffix, pesha, P-E-S-H-A. Literally, breach of trust or law. Breach of law, breach of trust, hence transgression. Then what is repeated in interrogative pronoun ma. And then our noun for sin is a common feminine singular construct, first common singular suffix, chata, C-H-A-T-A-T-H, chata. Actually, it should be two T's in that. Dog is forte in there, but that you have hotly pursued me, and that noun for sin we saw already in chapter 4, verse 7, with Cain 18:20. That you have hotly pursued after me, literally, conjunction key, K-I-Y. And hotly pursued is the cal perfect second masculine singular dalak, D-A-L-A-Q. After me is the adverb with the first common singular suffix, acare, A-C-H-E-R-A-R-E-Y. Verse 37. Though you have felt through all my goods, what have you found of all your household goods? You had the conjunction key, excuse me, again, K-I-Y, though or since. Then our word to feel again is the P-L, perfect second masculine singular, mashash, to thoroughly feel there or groped through is the idea, M-A-S-H-A-S-H. Sign of direct object, follow with our noun, common masculine singular construct, coal, all, K-O-L, coal, all of, goods or articles, vessels, as it may be contextually, common masculine plural construct, with first common singular suffix, keli, K-E-L-I-Y. Interrogative pronoun, ma, again, what, M-A-H, our verb define, cal perfect second masculine singular verb, matsa, M-A-T-S-A. Have you found of all your household goods? You had the preposition men, M-I-N, from all, kol, K-O-L, repeated, common masculine singular construct. Then goods here again, keli, K-E-L-I-Y. Common masculine plural construct, and follow with our word with the second masculine singular suffix, follow with our word for house or household, or with the second masculine singular suffix there, bayith, B-A-Y-I-T-H. Bayith is a common masculine singular construct with second masculine singular suffix. No suffix with goods, kali. Set it here before my kinsmen and your kinsmen, that they may decide between us two. Cal imperative, masculine singular, to put or place, seem, S-I-Y-M. Here is your adverb co, K-O-H, put here, and then you have the adverb neged, N-E-G-E-D. Before my kinsmen and your kinsmen, the entire company. You have the common masculine plural construct with the first common singular suffix, our word for brother, translated kinsmen in general, A-C-H, relatives, and while conjunction, your kinsmen, ock with the second masculine singular suffix versus first. So they might decide. You have the wow conjunction, followed with the hifil form of the verb, imperfect third masculine plural here as adjusted force, yakach, Y-A-K-A-C-H, yakach. to decide or judge between the two of us, literally, between us two. Preposition bayin, B-A-Y-I-N. Follows your adjective, masculine girl, construct with the first common plural suffix. Number two, shanaim, shenaim, S-H-E-N-A-Y-I-M. All right, rereading the two verses. Then Jacob became angry and contended with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my transgression? What is my sin that you have hotly pursued after me?" Verse 37, "Though you have felt through all my goods, what have you found of all your household goods? Set it here before my kinsmen and your kinsmen, that they may decide between us two." So one, after Laban rifles through Jacob's property, Jacob has had enough. Ending with his second search of Rachel's tent, obviously frustrated. And the end of it, Jacob's emotions take over, and he's had enough of this. Two, his patience turns to righteous indignation, and he determines it is time to unload on his uncle. As it is with many aspects of life, certain aspects in certain contexts are considered to be a sin. In other contexts, it can be exercised in a righteous way, such as fear. We're not to fear anything in the physical realm, even for our very lives. The food on the table, clothes on our back, things of this nature. That's sinful fear. We are to faith rest, put our trust in God, but we are to fear God. And to fear God is to respect Him truly according to a real understanding in regards to His attributes and who and what God is. To recognize He is the creator of the world and the universe, etc. So you can have righteous fear, you can have unrighteous fear. So it is with anger. Most anger is STA activity. Anger is an emotion. It is a response to certain situations where one obviously has animosity, hostility, aggression, expresses these things towards another, bad mental attitudes, etc. But anger that comes from and responds to injustices, things that are wrong, sinful, things of this nature, that anger is righteous. God has righteous anger. It's called His wrath. And in regards to unrighteousness, in regards to injustice, negative volition of man, God will express His wrath in this respect. And obviously, He'll do it on a very universal and corporate fashion at different points and times in history, of which He's not finished doing at this point in time yet. So there is righteous indignation. And we are to learn and know the difference between what is constituted as sin and not in regards to these aspects of our life. And here, Jacob obviously has underwent this humiliating situation. It has to be humiliating in front of all these people. The accusations have just come down the pipe. Nothing is found in his eyes, from all occurrences, at least what God has revealed in this respect, there is no founding in regards to the accusation that he's taken these idols. And therefore, the normally passive, long-suffering, patient man, Jacob, he basically explodes. This is enough. And sometimes that's the way it is. Sometimes enough is enough. See? And there are certain STAs out there that often will not back down unless they are confronted in regards to a very stern, if you will, and a fairly aggressive approach verbally or otherwise. So we recognize that in life, and so it is in regards to the Christian life. So three, his righteous indignation here, point three, this in defense of his reputation, which centers on verses 36 and 37, and then to assert his uncle's real reputation as a cheat and charlatan in the remainder of the verses, in verses 38 through 42, which those verses really provide the substance of the rebuke itself, even though it's obviously all a rebuke. And in the following verses, he will show who is what, see, in regards to these accusations otherwise having been made by Laban. He'll put the monkey on the right back. For by no means could one legitimately suggest that Jacob fits the category of being quick-tempered or quick to anger. When it comes to anger, we are to exercise patience to the best of our ability before one lets anger, obviously, express itself. The type of anger that you don't want to be around are people that can't control their anger at all. Called quick-tempered, quick to anger, Proverbs 14:29, under the doctrine of anger. He who is slow to anger has great understanding. That's what James says. Quick to hear, slow to anger. When it comes to Bible class especially. But he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. The getting angry at the drop of a dime. You don't like the way somebody looks. You don't like somebody else's opinion about something. And you see the looks of scowl or whatever jump on a person's face immediately. Those are the kind of people that usually trouble will follow eventually, if not, you know, immediately. So one who can control their emotions are those who truly have a great command of will over their SGAs. To think that you can be angry and advance yourself, well, you can in Satan's world. Now, you see a lot of this in sports, and they promote it, wrestling, things of that nature. But obviously, much of it is folly. Most of it, if not all of it, probably. So, look out for those types, and obviously, not to become one yourself of that type. 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife. I just can't let things drop. But the slow to anger pacifies contention. One ignites, the other diffuses. See. And we are to be at peace with all men to the degree as possible. So that demands that you got to control your own anger trend if you have one. See. And to approach things, not always do people have all the facts. It's amazing how quick people will go off under anger and not have all the facts. It's only perceived, you know. 16:32 Proverbs. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. To bridle your sin nature. takes strength of will. It takes a determination. As your sin nature is sitting there salivating, wanting to say, constantly saying, "Let me go, let me do my thing." You know. In God's eyes, one who can control their sin nature in these areas of life, especially, exercise great discipline and determination in life. That's 16:32, 19:11. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, to be discerning in regards to things, to contemplate, to consider. It may have come off sounding one way, but maybe something else was meant. How often does that happen? People misread the intentions of others. And all of it makes a difference, see. To be discerning. Discernment comes from patience, long-suffering, and be able to control your emotions. Obviously, with Bible doctrine to guide you in your thinking. And it is His glory to overlook a transgression. To be grace-oriented, as we would say. Strive to be grace-oriented. Who hasn't said something stupid at least once in their life? Besides myself, I can't think of anybody. And that was just about the most stupid thing I could say, see. Now, there you have it. We all stumble in many ways, see. So, dealing with others, obviously, our society more and more just tends to broil, seems like, in regards to letting emotions rule, to be angry, to be mean-spirited, to be cruel. Sure doesn't honor God, that's for sure. People like that, stay away from them. All they'll do is get you in trouble. Proverbs 22:24. As if God was reading my mind. Do not associate with a man given to anger. Or go with a hot-tempered man. Those kind of people you should stay aloof from. Now, we all have our STA problems, I understand. But obviously, the occasions will occur, but people that have those real problems, and you don't see attempts at least to bridle it and curb it, control it. Again, it's just trouble waiting to happen if you want to walk into it and let them mess up the rest of your day for you. Well, fine. I can usually do that on my own. I don't need any help. James 1:19-20. See it out there in the world. People take issue with something they overhear or whatever. You have to deal with it. You just try to diffuse it, move on. This you know, my beloved brothers, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Especially when it comes to the truth of doctrine, or the truth at any level almost. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Even righteous indignation basically in and of itself doesn't accomplish anything. It's just emotions are a responder. It's just how one feels. It is through doctrine that things are accomplished, coupled with positive volition or negative volition in the opposite end. So here in regards to Jacob, he does not fit this mode of STA, anger-driven type of individual. And remember, in our analysis of Laban's accusations, he tried to paint Jacob as aggressive, you know, taking his daughters under the sword of war, as captives and kidnappers, you know, by force. So all this has been levied against Jacob. And there is a time and place, especially when your reputation is at stake, and you have to be discerning and know when the proper time to react in this way to defend yourself. So 5, Jacob has showed himself to be emotionally stable, not only enduring under Laban's corrupt dealings over a decade, at least since the seventh year, you know, up to that point in time, even though Laban was scheming, we don't see any real affronts from his person towards Jacob. But once the marriage occurred, then it's just like bleh. Like everything goes downhill for him. And especially over the final 6 years. So Jacob has endured. And he showed himself to be emotionally stable, not only enduring under Laban's corrupt dealings over a decade, but now the indignity of this public spectacle. You know, it's one thing to have a private argument with somebody. It's another thing when it occurs in public. You know, people around. It obviously just heightens the whole thing. It's like it sparks all the emotions around everybody. And if you're part of the issue, then all eyes are generally on you. 6, Laban challenged Jacob in front of all their relatives, and now it is, quote, his turn in the barrel, end quote. You want to treat people certain ways, but don't be surprised if the tide is turned back in your person. That's point 7. Principle, if you embarrass someone in public, don't be surprised when you are faced with rebuke and embarrassment of your own. Again, the principle, what goes around comes around. And a lot of this is being expressed here on Laban's part. There's a time to discuss things in a serious manner. Usually out shopping and things of that nature is not the time to do it. You know, people around you and all these other things. Or in Bible class, you know, I've seen that happen before. Not here. God's grace is out here, more or less, at least what I've seen. But I've seen it otherwise. And what? It's just a public spectacle. Just embarrassment for people. If you're going to jump somebody in front of other people, then don't get your feelings hurt when they jump you back in front of people. You know, it's just the way it is. 8, Laban examples that some STAs like to, quote, air their dirty laundry in public, end quote. He's not going to just go after Jacob on his own. Get all the relatives to come in on this one, man. Let everybody get in on the bandwagon and watch. He's out to disgrace Jacob. You've got to recognize this about this guy. And it is just retribution, point 8, continuing for their target to recoil with righteous indignation. When that occurs, righteous indignation is a proper response. Nine, righteous anger is an expression of judgment by God, known as His wrath. Ten, it is so fitting here for the positive believer, Jacob, seeking to perform God's directive will to go back to the land of Canaan, to rebuke this negative religious reversionist, Laban, that has just attempted to circumvent the intent of God's will in the dream the night before, in verses 24 and verse 29. So this situation, to me, is just completely apropos. Jacob, all Jacob is trying to do is God's will for his life. Now, the way he went around it, that's his business. Now, whether you want to color it a little less than perfect, okay, I don't know, big deal. But one thing he's trying to do is apply Bible doctrine in his life. to follow God's directed geographical will for him in this respect. Laban, on the other turn, he's already been exposed to be the one that wants to circumvent God's plan for his life. And now come in and rub it off in regards to his positive relative, otherwise trying to trip him up. Well, if there's a time for righteous indignation to show itself, it's in conditions, situations like that. To trip up positive volition in regards to applying Bible doctrine. So, doctrine and my soul say that this is completely and totally legitimate. This is righteous indignation. It's not just Jacob getting under anger, sin anger, off the cuff in regards to all this. So 11, the opening phrase, quote, then Jacob became angry, end quote, could be rendered in the Hebrew, then it became anger for Jacob. Wow, Terah, Lamed, Jacob. 12, the Hebrew accurately recognizes that the situation as a whole, it there underlined, it became anger. The situation developed into the anger emotions, obviously, that Jacob experienced. Simmered until exploded to Jacob's angry mood. 13, the more he thought about what was happening, the more he became righteously indignant. And that's the way it is sometimes. This isn't just off this one situation. You got to recognize this is some, what, 13 years of putting up with his uncle. And now this on top of it all. And nothing's found. God's grace is there on his behalf. And in front of all his family and his father-in-law's relatives. How many of us would put up with that? 14, the anger then spurred Jacob into action, not customary of his character. And he contended with Laban. Wow, Reb Bet Laban. 15, the word contended has the idea of disputed. As we saw earlier, recognizing the legitimacy to challenge unsubstantiated accusations of others, especially in a legal form. And this does take on the legal form because a criminal accusation has been levied against Jacob. Stealing, see. We saw this word contend back in chapter 26, verses 20, 21, and 22. There, in that context, it was Isaac and the herdsmen of Gerar quarreling. That's the where she, how it's translated in those verses. The herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac. Because they contended with him. They dug another well and they quarreled over it too, the same word. Karah, or whatever the word was. Areb. 22. And he moved away from there, dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. Reeve. So here, 16, Jacob shows another side in contrast to his passive nature. He's first introduced to us as Mama's boy. A homeboy, a homebody. Contrast to his brother Esau, the outdoorsman. The rough and tumble type, running away, acting with less than sound scruples with respect to his father, spiritually immature, couldn't even really rightly divide the word of truth in regards to the initial dream he had on when he's fleeing, became mystic over it all. And that's how we were introduced with Jacob, the heir of the covenant. But ultimately, he is positive. And he goes through these ordeals, some 20 years for him in his lifespan, for him to start coming around spiritually and growing up and maturing emotionally and otherwise. And the normally passive individual, and this is where you hear it's not the rally types that you really have to look out for, it's the quiet types. But it's kind of what Jacob personifies in this kind of all these years. And just people like they can steamroll over him, his uncle. Once again, he can just steamroll right on over Jacob. Well, now he crossed the line. Now he crossed the line. And really, the contempt and all these things that had been expressed by his uncle and directed towards his person. He's basically accusing or attacking Jacob's spiritual character, his morals and his ethics of life. So 17, though Jacob's anger peaked, moving him to now confront his uncle, he again refrains from letting his emotions dictate his speech, exemplified then in the phrase, "And Jacob answered and said to Laban, Wow, Anah, Jacob, Wow, Amar, Lamed, Laban." And we saw the difference of verbs earlier, back in verse 31, where Anah looks at he first considered all that's going on. And then Amar, then he spoke those words verbally. Verse 31, Jacob answered, said to Laban, "Because I was afraid," as he responded to the initial deal. We saw the same construct back in verse 14. Rachel and Leah answered and said to Jacob. See, same idea. All right. 18, the first question, "What is my transgression?" Ma Peshah addresses the criminal or legal accusations of stealing the idols. That's his emphasis. Even though there's obviously a direct parallel correlation between transgression and sin. One has a different nuance than the other. And transgression looks at breaching the law. So 19, the Hebrew noun pesha, transgression, emphasizes criminal action or legal breach. In regards to Joseph's brothers selling him in Genesis 50:17, we'll see it used again. Thus you just say to Joseph, "Please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin." You see the two words side by side, but there's a difference, a nuance. And the transgression looks at the criminal activity of the, if you will, kidnapping Jacob. They had an intent to kill him. If it hadn't been for Judah stepping in, they probably would have. There's your family for you. And these are the tribes of Israel. the very names and people that Israel is built upon. Bundy's really got it right, don't they? Anyway, and selling him into slavery. So you see it there. And then Exodus 22:8. "If the thief is not caught, then the owner of the house shall make sure I got this right.
I don't know if that one's right.
A couple hours of teaching, some, I'm gone. Well, for now, Genesis 50:17 will do. Obviously, for all of Laban's efforts in searching, he has come up empty-handed. 21, even though Rachel has stolen the teraphim, Jacob himself is innocent of crime. So 24, this at least implies that if the teraphim had been found otherwise, blame would have landed on Jacob's head in some form of fashion, sufficient to drag him back to Haran. So, understand, this Laban is going to try to hang this on Jacob no matter what. And the fact that in a real court of law, one person isn't held accountable and guilty for another person's crime. But the fact that Jacob was innocent here, and if they've been found otherwise, the indication is all of them would have been taken back and Jacob would have been held accountable for it, shows the situation as it is. Laban is doing what he can to railroad him by hook or crook to get his way. So legally, again, 22, Jacob should not have been held accountable for his wife's actions as he played no part in it. 23, so God protects the innocent here, avoiding any intentions to railroad him otherwise. 24, this at least implies that the teraphim had been found otherwise, blame would have been landed on Jacob's head in some form or fashion. Sufficient to drag him back to Haran. 25, this illustrates that God will employ his overruling will as necessary in the event of others trying to trip up the positive believer's execution of his divine will, directly and geographical. It points to that once again. All right. We're quitting. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.